There we go. So, my goal is to try to finish everything this week, which would mean that the next, okay, if you look at the calendar, if we finish up this week, then the 8th, the 10th, and the 15th will be open labs. Okay? Your final, and I don't remember which one you are. Has anybody checked? One of the classes will be a final on the 17th, one will be on the 21st. What I always do is I don't want to give one class, since it's an online final, I don't want to give one class longer than the next. So since I'm giving you basically a week and a half, we're going to say that the 17th is going to be the day of the final for both classes, or all three. I've actually got an online section of this too. And I want all sections to have the same amount of time on the final. So we're going to say that the final is going to be on the 17th. I haven't looked at the schedule yet. And that means that I will post it next week so that you'll have time to ask me questions about it during the open labs. You will have a little over a week, or possibly a little over, whenever I post it, to do the final. Okay, so you have a week to do the final, but it has to be passed in by the 17th. The last homework assignment I'm giving is this week. So you don't have any homework next week. You don't have any homework the following week, except to work on the final, basically. I will take homework up till the 15th, given the fact that I would like to have Christmas. We are not going to pass in a lot of stuff late, okay? If you pass in stuff late, I will take it. I will, if you nag me appropriately, I will correct it. And if it warrants a change of grade, I will do the change of grade. But I am not going to try to get that done through Christmas, because basically I'm going to be correcting finals through Christmas too and getting calculating grades. So I'm just basically not promising that I will do anything with work that comes in after the 15th until the new year. And then I would strongly suggest you nag me. Okay, because by that time I've written you guys all off and said, okay, now we're dealing with the next semester, right? So you've been forgotten. So if you don't nag me, I'm not going to remember you, okay? So, I mean, let's be truthful about this. I'm not going to remember you if you don't nag me. Now, nagging me means sending me periodic emails. It does not mean multiple emails per day, because then I'm going to get aggravated with you. So send them to me periodically. Yeah, one a day works. One every other day works even better. Okay. All right. So
2 every hour. Sounds good.
Yeah. Right. You flunk.
I changed your grade, all right.
Okay. So, we've got a little bit of Visual Basic to finish up, and so I'm going to go into that first. So if you go to programs, the ones I want to look at are the read and the write, or it's create, actually. The create and the read. Okay, so download the create and the read and open them up. And I think I already have them. And by the way, you might as well also click on Visual Studio, since we all know how long that's going to take. Okay, so click on Visual Studio. I wasn't kidding. Click on Visual Studio now and then download. Good heavens.
I'm back. What are we learning?
Visual Basic, and then?
Visual Basic, my favorite.
This is Max. Some of you probably had him as an advisor, a mentor.
Probably. I think I've heard from most of them.
I just sent you one.
Okay, haven't heard from that one, never heard back from several of them.
Okay. So, take a few minutes, and I can still try to talk fast. Take a few minutes and tell us about what you're doing.
Today?
Right now.
Oh, I'm...
No, not today. No, at your job. Sorry.
Well,
I mean, right now, talk to me and tell me what about your job and what you do.
Okay, so my official title is Lead IT Support Analyst. Basically, that means, hey, I have a problem, and I resolve it. I work for a smaller company in Taunton called Smart Home Services. The company as a whole has a product called PartsEye, which does predictive ordering and inventory management for the automotive industry. We employ a decent amount of developers, and I'm slowly starting to be able to grow the department that I work for, because we now have offices in Florida, California, and I've been working there for about 2 years. We started, I think, about 30 people when I was working, or when I started, and now we're at about 50 and continuing to grow.
Wow, that's good. You like it?
I do like it, mainly just because it fits me well. It's a very ADD job. I do a lot of system administration work. I do basic computer repair. I completely migrated our company from being an on-premise exchange company to now we're with 365 over the summer. We deal a lot with Microsoft Azure, which is Microsoft's cloud platform, if you're not familiar. SQL
or SQL, as I pronounce it. It's a 50-50. It's SQL is SQL, though.
Well, the SQL manager is the SQL manager, so that's why I've just decided to go with that.
Okay. And I go with SQL because old habits are hard to break. So, although, as I said, when I ask at Oracle which one they do, they will... Depending on who I ask, it can go either way.
I think either is accepted. Not
right. Right. So how much do you do with that?
I do very little SQL.
Okay.
But we have, our developers are primarily C#, SQL.net. So, and when I say primarily, I mean all of our actual developers only do that. People who do some of the application support.
Anybody got any questions? He majored in networking, took a lot of programming courses.
Took a lot of courses because I was here for quite a while before I swapped over to CIS.
This is true. Max is legendary around here. anybody got any questions?
You went into networking.
I started with CIS with networking, basically did the entire degree, but then didn't graduate from it and hung around and did programming classes, and then finally I was told enough is enough. Got my networking degree and there.
do you do a lot of networking?
Yes. But basically the networking degree is more of a system administration degree. So sysadmin stuff is probably a large bulk of my job.
Anybody else got anything? So are you here for a while?
I'm going to be floating around, yeah.
Good, then float back for my other class.
Will do.
12:15, okay?
can't take away too much from the BB. That's usually one of their more...
Okay, so if you look at the form, I basically have on the form three fields where I'm going to take in data. and then I'm clicking on write, and that is writing the data out to a file. Okay? So, if we look at this, up at the top, when I click on the button write, okay, it develops the click event for button write. And what is it doing? There it is. Then I said, I'm dimming what I want it to write. So I said, dim data write as a string. Okay, data write is the thing that I am actually writing out. And dim it as a string. And I want to put in the contents of the text ID box, concatenated with a comma. The comma is the separator. I'm separating my fields, so I'm concatenating it with a comma, concatenating it with the content of the name field, concatenating with a comma, concatenated with the content of the major field, and then I'm concatenating that with VBCRLF, which means carriage return line feed, which means put it down to the next line. So basically, I'm saying when I do a write, I want to write that line, and I'm creating a text file that you can see in Notepad. And after I write a line, I want to move down to the next line so that each record will be on a separate line. Okay? So that's what the VBCRLF gets me. Okay? So then, after I write that, or after I set it up, sorry, I haven't written it. I just said dim the line that I want to write. Define the line as I want to write. And I'm defining it as type string, and it is all of those things concatenated together. Then I copy the next part. mycomputer.filesystem.writeAllText. Okay, that's the command that will write it down. And in the parenthesis, I put the drive, and you've probably got something different than what I have right there, but it is essentially I put the drive that I want to write it on. So apparently this had L, because when I tested it, I must have had my flash drive in the L drive. So this has L, and then I put it in a folder called VB, and I call the file itself studentf15.txt.
If you don't have studentf15.txt in that location, will it create its own folder, create its own text document?
No. You have to give it the name that you want to create.
So I need to have a text document already set up for it.
Pardon me?
I have to have a text document already set up for it.
No. It will create. Okay, then maybe I didn't understand you. This is, I can pick a brand new flash drive, stick it in, make a folder called VB, and then when I write it, we'll just put that in my VB folder.
Okay.
And you don't have to put it in a folder, you can put it in the root. Okay? So right now, if I go in here, well, actually, and I look at, this is in the F drive. Okay, so I need to go back and change that to the F drive. Okay, so go ahead and put this up if you want, and just basically write it out to the T drive or to a flash drive that you have. If you want to create a folder, create a VB. I created a folder called VB. You don't have to do that. And I put it in. Data write means that it will write to the file. Okay, it will write to the file. And the true, if you want to find out exactly what those mean, the way you do it is data write true. If you come back over here, okay, and you start to write data write, and it will tell you that that's the name of the file, and then comma true, and true tells you to append true to append to the contents of the file, false will overwrite. So true will add to the file that you already have, and false will overwrite. Okay? So data write is the thing that I dimmed up here. So I'm saying do this write. Write the text file using that dim data write that I defined up there, and I want to add it to the existing file. Okay, as opposed to overwrite. If I wanted to wipe out the existing file and replace it, then I would use a false there. But the true will add to it. Okay? The dim data write, I could have dimmed it as anything I wanted to. Okay? Dim it as mine. Dim it as first. Whatever I wanted to do. And if I dimmed it as first, then I would put first in there to go ahead and write it. Okay, so take a couple of minutes and change the address and save it. In other words, use my program, but change the address so that you're putting it wherever you want to put it. So now I can do start, and I'm going to do 567, Susan Smith, major CI, and I click on write, and since it didn't yell at me, that means it found the address, okay? And so now I can put 678, David Costa, CI and write. Okay? And so I keep writing these records. And write. When I'm done, I say end. Okay? And then I can go to Notepad and do a file open and go to my F drive and go to my folder called VB and bring up student15.txt. And there it is. Okay, so that has records that I put in before, and now I am adding records. So the last three were the three I added, and it's because I said true that I added records to it. If I had said false, it would have wiped out the three records I already had there and put in just the three new ones. Okay. Has everybody or anybody that wanted to got that working? That was a resounding yes or no. You act surprised. Okay, the key thing is to get the address right. Okay, you've got to have the address. I'm going to the F drive to a folder called VB to studentf15.txt. Okay. Now we're going to bring up the read. And when I bring up the read, I want to read this file that I've just created. Therefore, I've got to remember the address and the name of the file. Because I've just created this, it is located on the F drive in the VB folder, and that's its name. Now I'm going to have to bring that and use that when I go to do the read, because I want to read that file. Okay? So I'm going to close down the file, I'm going to close the program, and I'm going to open the read. So again, notice that up at the top here, I've got the address. I had the L address. I've got to change it to an F so that I will be reading from the right device. Okay, so if you open that, go in and change that address, and at that point, once you've changed the address, if I run this, and I click read, it reads the first record, reads the second, reads the third, reads the fourth, reads the fifth, reads the sixth, and when I click on the read again, it comes back and says end of file reached. And you can see where I have that message right there, end of file reached. So once it has gone through the whole thing, it tells me that end of file has been reached. Okay, so the top line is dimming my reader, and I called it my reader. The rest of that is copy and paste until you get to putting in the address. Okay? If you want to learn that, more power to you. You know, I go back and copy and paste. That's one of my complaints about Visual Basic, is that I, in all honesty, am not going to memorize Microsoft.VisualBasic.FileIO.TextView.Parser. I'm just not going to do that. It's not going to happen. And so making them these long, convoluted things is one of my complaints. Okay, so I said now button read, and I also have a down at the bottom form read load. And remember I said that when you click any blank place on the form, it creates the load event. So in the load event, I am simply telling it that the delimiter is a comma. And again, this is a copy and paste. But remember when I wrote it, I put a comma between fields? Well, I actually could have put a slash between fields. Or I could have put an asterisk between fields. I could have, when I wrote it out, I could have put anything I wanted between the fields. So now I chose a comma, I got to tell it that it's a comma, that the comma will be between fields, okay? That the comma will be the delimiter, and it will be the thing that happens between fields. And again, back when I did the write, I said take the text ID.text, concatenate it with a comma, concatenate it with the text name, concatenate it with a comma. So I chose a comma. Okay? So now I have to tell it that the delimiter is a comma. Okay, so I'm saying my reader, which is what I defined up there. Text field type equals da-da-da-da. Again, it's a copy and paste as far as I'm concerned, and you just change the comma. Okay, so then I come over here, and I said dim current rel as string. If not end of data, then, okay, so if not end of data, then read the fields. On the record that you read, take the current row 0, which means the first record, the first field. The 0th field is the first field. Take the first field and put it in the text box for text ID number. take the second field, which is Turner Row 1, and put it in the name. Take the third field and put it in major. If it is end of data, then put up the message, end of file reached. Okay. So if I run out of data, put up the message, end of file reached. And that's a very simple version of how I can write data out on a file and I can read data from a file. And in most programming languages, that's one of the major things you're doing, because you are saving information a lot of times and then accessing the information you've saved. I'm not going into it here, but in fact, the main way that you use data in Visual Basic is with a database like Access. So you can set it up so that you have your Access database. It can read records from your Access database and write records onto it. But the methodology to use that is much more complex. So we're going to happily just write a notepad file and read a notepad file, and that's the end of what we're going to do in this class. If you take Visual Basic at some point, you will learn how to use a database as opposed to just a file. But this is a standalone file. It's a quick and dirty little file that we can create to keep track of things. And people still use files. If you want something temporary especially, and opposed to putting it on a database, you frequently just create a file. Okay, questions? Did everybody get this so it read your file? If you change the address, it will then go in, hopefully, and read your file. Okay? Because you created the file, now it can read the file. Anybody run into any problems? Okay. Then we are going to start to talk about the last topic. We're going back to Access, speaking of Access. Okay. And we're looking at Access from the point of view of, in fact, most databases have more than one table. Okay. There are rules on what is called normalization. And if you click on my normalization third normal form, those are the rules for normalization. And they are written in computerese, so they're not easily understandable. But essentially, relational databases have rules, and if you follow those rules, you tend to have a better chance of making a clean database. The hardest part of making a database is deciding how many tables you need and what should be on those tables and how those tables interrelate. It is the kind of thing that usually one person doesn't do alone, because you really need a lot of brains working on it. You need the technical side, you need the database people, and then you need the business people that know what it is that they want to be able to create and how they use it. And so that group of people will get together and design the database. And when they do that, they try to follow the rules of third normal form. I'm introducing this just so that when somebody starts talking about relational databases and first normal form, you can say, oh yes, I've heard of that. Don't ask me anything more, but I have heard of it. Okay, so that's why we're going through this. Okay, so a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay. And this is a very practical thing. And my favorite story about this is I called to place an order on the phone. And I wanted to order 7 things. When I finished ordering the 5th thing, the woman said, thank you for your order. And I said, but I'm not done. I've got 2 more things I want to order. And she said, I can't take them. And I said, but I want them. And she said, reluctantly, oh, all right. And she started a new record for me. So she asked me my name. She asked me my address. She asked me my phone number. And we went through all that. And then she put in the two things I want a daughter. Now, if I'd wanted to order 12 things, because apparently she could only handle five, we would have had to have done that whole process a third time. Okay? And that's the problem with repeating groups. What she had was a record that had... Oh, good. That is not working correctly. And I really would like to write on the board, so... There'll be a slight pause. While I orient the board that I did yesterday and I shouldn't have to do again, I claim, but... Okay. So, for first normal pawn, let's say I wanted to have a feel for ID. Okay, now it doesn't want to write. Technology is a wonderful thing. Once more. ID number, I wanted the name, I want an address, I want about other things about the people, whatever they are. And then for each item, I would say item one, ID, item one, quantity, item one, price, and then I would have item two, ID, item two, quantity, item two, price. Those are known as repeating groups. The problem with repeating groups is they do what this company did, which is they set up five repeating groups. So I could only order five things. Okay, maybe most of their customers don't order up to five things, but they had repeating groups. So I don't want repeating groups. This is a repeating group, and I can't have that. So what I have to do is have the customer table. And the customer table has on it the ID, the name, and the address. And then I put up an order table, or whatever. And on that, I still have to have the ID because I have to know who it is that ordered it. And then I would have the item ID, the item quantity, and the item price.
And then you just make more of those order tables.
Exactly. Okay. Now, the problem is that I am going to have multiple records there, but that still works. So if I wanted seven things, I would end up having seven things on this table. But each of them would have my ID, and I might want to have the date. You know, I'm just did a very minimalized thing there. Yeah. But I might also want to have the date so that I know what date it was ordered and other information. But the point is that I break it up into two tables. And the link is these IDs. Okay, so that's the link. And probably I would want to put the date on the table, because if they order something and then next week they order the same thing, I have a problem. This is the primary key over here. Over here, ID can't be the primary key, because primary key can only occur once. So I would make my primary key ID and item ID. But if the person ordered the same item the next day again, it would be a problem. So if I put in date here and then make those three things together, the primary key, so that person on that date ordered that item. Okay? So I have an ID to tell me that it's person 123. I have the date that the order was placed, and I have the item ID. Okay? So that person on that date, and if you get really fussy about it, you can get date to go down and include time, and then you're really in good shape, because nobody's going to order the same item again at the same time. Exactly. But primary key has to be unique. Zach, you look like you're fighting with this.
Yeah, how do you set up primary key for three things?
Very easily, actually, when you're doing it in Access, you just write the, put the primary key next to three different fields.
I didn't know that. I thought primary keys were only supposed to be one.
No, no. Primary key's job is to uniquely identify a record. And in this case, ID does not uniquely define the record. Because if ID uniquely defined the record, then the person could only order one thing forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, so ID can't define it.
Could you show this in Access, like as in actual Access, so we see it?
We're actually going to, no, I'll do that Thursday though, I promise. we may actually get there today, but I want to go through this part first and then... As I said,
I'm
talking fast.
What it would actually look like.
You actually have the primary key, and actually I think I will get to it if I talk fast enough. You have the primary key with the little key symbol next to each of the three fields. Okay? And if you hold down control, then you can get it in the three things. So you put it next to it. And I will, as I said, looking at the time, I think we will get to my example. I've got an example out there. Okay, so that is the thing about repeating groups. So that is the major, actually, thing that we do, is we can't have repeating groups. Another example of that is the college decides to carry information about your courses. Well, if they carried it all, they'd have to decide how many courses you can take. Okay, no student can take over 30 courses. Max, that was in here a minute ago, took more than 30 courses. So Max would have been thrown out long before this. So basically what I would have to do is have the student record, and then I'd have student courses. And for every one of the courses, you would have the ID, the semester they took it, and the course number. Okay, and the grade that they eventually got in the course. And those would be, if you took 30 courses, you would have 30 records in the course, student course table. Okay. The second relation is in second normal form. Come on, we can do this. Closing. A relationship is in second normal form. If it is in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? And that means that basically if I've set up a primary key, all of the information has to relate to the primary key. So in fact, the one that I did up here where I put the item, that one was all right, because it was how many that person ordered and the current price for that person. if I actually think about it, I might not want to carry the price because I can go to my inventory table and get the price. However, lots of times you do carry the price because you want what is really the quoted price. If I tell the customer this is $5.95, that's what they want to get it for. And if the inventory gets changed and it's now $6, they still want $5.95. So putting on their record what is called the quoted price would do it. Okay? So basically, I can't have any fields that don't relate to the entire primary key. And when we look at the example, I think we will see that. So I may get to your example sooner than I said. And a relationship is in second normal form only if the determinants it contains are candidate keys. And determinants are something like this. If you have a student ID, a student name, and the student major, okay, and the primary key would be the student ID because everybody has a unique ID. So I have the ID, I have the name, and I have the major. Now, the major code. So that would be something like CI. If I then try to put in the major name down here, okay, that basically breaks the normal form because the major name is dependent on the code. So the code determines the name. It is not dependent on the ID. It is not dependent on the student ID. So the name is dependent on the code. So I can't keep the name there. So I would have to pull that out and have a table called major, and that would have the student major code and the major name and any other information about the major, who the chair is, etc. Any other information about the major. The primary key there is that. So if I want to know the major name, I can link between these two tables and find the major name. Now that again is very practical. The name of this major is Computer Information Systems. If I decide to change it in the wrong way, I would have to change it on every student's record. And that is extremely time consuming. Here, if I change the name here, I just change it one place. And anybody that has the code will get that new name. And it's just one place that I've changed it. And so that makes a lot of sense to just have the name over there. Okay. So, second normal form is a key attribute is only dependent on a portion of the primary key. And I think we'll see that better when we do the example. So he's getting his example faster than I thought. So now we're going to look at student table database. And that will open up in Access. Student 4 table database. And we'll also look at the data needed, but we're going to go back and forth between those. Come on. Is everybody getting this?
No, I got it. Yeah, I've been having some.
How bad is it to cancel out of that? I think it works. No, it's configuring maybe. because I think I've canceled out of that before. But on the whole, I'm a wuss, so I don't. Ah, come on, this is ridiculous. And in fact, I want 2012, right? Verify you have, and I don't have permissions. So, what are we going to do? Yes, I want to cancel. So, what I'm going to do is go back here and just save this. Okay? Yeah, right. I don't want to be any of these places, please. Are you sure you want to cancel? Yes. Okay, so I want to basically save the database. So I'm going to save that. Okay, I'm going to save it. And actually, I would like to choose where I'm going to save it. So save link as. And I'm going to put it on my F drive. Okay, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to find Access 2013. I guess it is 13 we use, isn't it? I'm thinking of another thing that I use 12.
Yeah, there's not 13.
We've been using 13. Yeah. Visual Basic, I use 12. That's what I was thinking of. Your database might not function correctly. Has anybody done this and made it work? I'm probably not reading the commands correctly. Tell me what to do.
I keep prepared to install and sets it up and then does it again.
I just downloaded it with my flash drive.
Yeah, I did too, but now I'm just trying to open Access all by its little selfie. And it seems to not want to.
Actually,
let's
just open.
I installed something, not the everything.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to cancel? I'm basically not sure, but because I actually have no idea what's going on. Okay. You've been going through all that?
Yeah, I haven't been able to open that.
Wonderful. Talking fast is not what I need. I need the machine to work fast. Okay, so if I come over here and I go to...
Yeah, I went in and did it like that. There we go.
Okay, so what did you click on over here? Visual Studio 2012. Microsoft Office 2013, yes. I'm still thinking Access, VB. And then Access 2013. I'm still getting preparing to install.
Wow, that's
weird.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a file on the Mac.
Huh?
That's a file you have in your home.
So anyway, anybody that's got Access can open the database and look at it. Those of you who don't have Access, we will assume that maybe this will work.
It will eventually.
And I am going to go and open the Word document right below it that I said I was going to do at the same time, but I'm going to just open that. And I would feel very reassured if that would start to open as opposed to spinning. And eventually it will even open Word. Maybe.
So with the basics, you said it's gonna be, you're gonna put a primary key.
Yep.
On student ID, and then how are you linking them to the other one?
Well, I've got a bunch of tables, right?
So if I go to the side here.
And you link them when you do the if and when this ever opens. You link them. It doesn't seem to be doing anything, does it? Did that just sit there like that with yours, Carolyn? Wonderful. Okay, this is the data we're going to look at, and hopefully it will come up. I have information about the student that I need. I need a student ID, I need a student name, their city, their state, their GPA. And I probably need a whole lot of other information like their email address and their phone and that sort of thing. But I am going to make a student table. And the student table will contain information about the student. And the student ID will be the primary key. Then I need to know about the department. Okay? And I am going to have a department table. So I'm going to make a department table. And it's got the department name, the department chair. So that's kind of like a media that I was talking about before. Now, I need to be able to link these two. And right now, I don't have anything in common between the student and the department. Okay, so what I do is I look at it and say, I'm going to add in up here the department code. Department being the same as major. So if you're in the CI major, I can then link over and get the name. So if I put the department code up here as a field, then I can link from that down to there and find out what department name the student is in and all of that. But if I have these two tables, I have to establish something in common to make the link work. And what I'm establishing in common is the department code. And the department code is my primary key over here. Okay, then I have...
Hold on. With this, you're saying in the student table, it's going to have student ID, name, city, state, GPA.
That's right.
And department code.
And department code.
Okay.
And then I can link down to here.
And then in the department one, it's going to have department code.
Yes. Also? Yes. That's yes.
Okay.
They both have to have department code. That's what my arrows
are doing. So they can tie
it
together.
I need to put in a department code. This one already has it. Okay, there it is. It's already down there.
That's, yeah, okay.
Okay, so there's the department code, and that's the primary key. And I'm going to be able to link, because I'm putting a department code on the student table, I can link to the department code down here and find out what department you're in. Then I've got information about the courses that the college offers, and this will create a course table. So I'm going to have a course table there about the courses that we offer, and that's going to have a primary key of course number. So I'll have my course number, my course name, and the number of credits. Then I want to keep information about the students' courses.
I'm sorry, I'm being really slow.
No, that's fine. Ask.
How do you link the course table to the other two?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
The way I'm going to link it is going to be actually down here. Okay, so right now I've got a student table, And the student table is all about the student, but it tells what department they're in by code. I have a department code, and I can link from the student table into the department table using department code. But in order to do that, department code has to be on both tables. Okay? Then I have my courses that the college offers. And so, and again, we're not talking about sections, we're talking about just courses that we offer. CIS 120, CIS 121, CIS 122, whatever. Those are courses. And we have the course name and the number of credits that that course is worth. Okay? And then I want to take information about the student taking a course. Okay, so this would be student course table. And on this one, I'm going to also have to add the things that I want to link to. So I am going to have to, because I want to link up to things, I need to have the student ID. Because if I have a table of information about the student taking the course, I got to know who the student is, right? So I'm going to put the student ID on there. So now I can use that student ID to link up and get the student's name. Okay? Because I have a link there between the student ID and the student ID up here, I can link and grab information out of there.
So course number is linked to, the course.
Haven't got there yet. Stay tuned.
Okay.
And then I want to keep information about the student taking a course, okay? So I need to have the student ID. Then I need to have the course number.
And that's where you link it in.
And that's when I link it in. So now I have the course number, and this links up to there, so I can get the name of the course if I want to.
So course table links in through the student course table, which links into the student table.
Actually, they're more standing alone. The thing that is linking to both the student and the course is this table, and maybe that's what you said, but it didn't sound like that.
Sorry.
Okay. This table here can access and find out all I want to know about the student. It can also access and find out all I want to know about the course.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to know the information about a particular student taking a particular course. And so I'm going to have semester year. So for example, I might have fall 15. Okay, so that tells me that the course was taken in fall 15. Think about your transcript. Okay, they list out the course number, the course name, and when you took it and your grade you got. Okay, so this is going to have the semester year, and it's going to have the grade. Now, what is going to be the primary key on this table?
Student ID.
Can't be the student ID, or you can only take one course and then see ya. And the college is not going to do well if everybody only takes one course. So I need the student ID as part of the primary key. What else do I need?
The
semester year, but hopefully you're taking more than one course in a semester year. So what else do I need?
Number of courses.
Course number. Okay, so these three things together uniquely identify an erected, because I have what student is taking what course, what semester, and the grade that they're going to get. So for example, if you are student 111 and you are taking CIS 120, fall 15, and you get an A. And then student 111 is taking CIS 121 in the fall of 15 and gets a B. Okay? And I can go on and keep listing about student 111, or I can move on to student 112 is also taking CIS 120 in the fall of 15, and they got a C. All right, they got nothing. Because my little thing there doesn't want me to write. Yeah. So there we will make the tools go away, and I might get able to put in a C. Yeah. So that's what that table would look like. Okay? Now remember second normal form. No, you don't, but anyway, I'm saying it. Remember I said that you couldn't have data that didn't relate to the entire primary key? Okay. Grade relates to the entire key because it's about a particular student taking a particular course a particular semester year. And so the grade relates to all three parts.
When I said that the student ID wasn't going to be a primary key, you said no, because it was already listed in the student table.
No, I don't. Well, if I did, I was wrong.
I might have misunderstood that.
I didn't say it could not be the primary key by itself, because then a student could only take one, could only be in there once. And
okay,
you only could take one course.
So when I say those three, I can have as many records then?
Then as many records as you want.
Okay.
Just like I've got two for person 111, and I've got two for CIS 120. Something has to be unique. Between record one and record two that I wrote up here, the course number is different. Between
Well, out of those three things, something has to change.
Something has to change.
Okay, instead of making it, okay, that's what I started to trick with, because I wasn't seeing the idea of those three things makes it, this is a whole section.
This is
the
key.
So I need to change something into it. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
This is the key. Right there, that's the key. And the key has to be unique.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I wasn't clicking in my head, because I was like, it's 101 again, so it shouldn't work.
No.
But because
but that's why it can't be just the student ID, because 111 again wouldn't work.
But since it's a whole unique block.
That's right.
120 is now 121, which makes that whole block completely new.
Totally.
Okay.
Because it's now a unique set of digits,
and
that's looked at as the key.
And if we included grade, We couldn't include grade because
no, right.
We wouldn't be able to get an A again.
Well, first of all, you don't know what the grade is till the end of the semester, so you wouldn't want it to be part of the primary key. And that's why we had to have semester year. If we knew that every student would only take a course once, then we wouldn't need semester year. But we don't know that every student will only take a course once. So we can't have just the student ID and the course ID, because they may take it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we throw in the semester year. And that gets me the uniqueness.
Okay.
Yeah.
So linking, like, is that done just by having the same field name, or?
When we get to, if we ever get to, bringing up access, when you write your where clause, you know how when you write in access? Let me see if I can. I want to take a picture of that before I write. So if I say select and whatever I want to select, let's say I want to have student, well, I'm actually not going to list those out because I'm not going to, I will hopefully will look at it in access. And I'm going to just answer your question. So if I say select whatever I want to select, and then I say from stu table and to course table. Okay, so I've now said I'm going to use information from these two tables. So I've said select whatever from those two tables, meaning I now have access to any information on the student table and any information on the student course table. And then I need to do the link. So I say where stu table dot student ID equals stu course table dot student ID. Okay, so there's the link. I'm saying select whatever I want to see from these two tables where the student ID matches between the student table and the student course table. Okay. And I guess I decided to call it student table. I got lazy. Instead of student table. So that's how I do the linking. And this is a where. And we'll correct this little by little as we go along. But where the student table needs an L. Dot student ID, which means the table dot the ID.
So the information of the table, that is the student ID.
That's right. Equals the student ID that's on the stu course table. So when the two link together, then they match, and I will get things. So up here, I now have access to the two tables. Now student ID is on both. So I have to specify a table name. Doesn't matter what table name I specify, but I have to specify one of those two table names. Now, since I'm saying link them together, it doesn't matter which one, because they're going to be the same. And then I can say I want to see grade and student name. So I'm seeing those three fields. If the field does not appear on two tables, I do not have to put the table name in front. But if it appears on two tables, I have to put the table name in front so it knows which one I'm talking about. So in front of the student ID, I said stu table. I could have said stu course table. Then I've got comma grade, and grade came from this table. The student course table, comma, student name, and student name came from the student table. So I
because
can.
Because you link them together.
Because I link them together.
They become one long
right.
table.
And if you do not link them together with the where clause, you get every possible combination. So if there's 5 records on one and 10 records on another, you're going to get 50. 5 times 10 is 50. You're going to get every possible combination. And that's not what you want. So you need to link them together.
Okay.
Okay? And we actually kind of looked at that without looking at the database, which it still cannot. So Era could not register the font, verify. Ignore. Let's see if we can ignore that.
Wow.
No, I'm going to get the people across the hall in here with the administrative rights. Did anything just happen? Other than it went away?
No, I'll probably pop up.
If it's all set, I will leave it. Okay.
Well, it's going to be all set when we leave it.
I will get that fixed before Thursday, and Thursday we will look at the database. Okay? And we will actually look at the access database on Thursday
the Access database is out there. Feel free to download it if you have any questions.
What date did you say the final was going to be available for us to work on?
At least a week ahead of time.
So
and it'll probably go up a little sooner. It's due on the 17th, so it will be up by at least before the 10th, so that you can ask questions.
So like the week before that?
Huh?
The week before, like,
You get a whole week to do it, right. So it's due on the 17th, it will be up by the 10th. And then you have a week to do it and send it to me. Your final counts 10% of the grade only. Homework is the big thing. Okay, homework, each homework counts 3 or 4. So the final basically counts about as 3 homeworks.
And the last day we can get homeworks in
is the 15th, which is the last day of classes.
Yeah. I'm working on that right now, getting everything done.
Good. Good. Have a very productive week. Okay? I would really like to pass half the class.
So what's the final going to consist of?
Everything.
Everything. Just like I said, everything.
Well,
those were my exact words. I was like, everything.
How long is the final going to be? I mean, I understand we've got a week to do it, so I don't expect it to be like 3 questions.
It depends. If you know everything and don't have to look things up, it will go fairly fast. If you need to look things up, it's going to go fairly slow. It's an open book, open notes final. So basically, you know, the only thing I ask you not to do is not talk to your friends. So it's an individual project, but it's open, no open book. So it really, the length of time depends on how much you have to look up.
I was considering it too. I was sitting back. I was already a little drunk.
I just wanted either one of the ones you did at the beginning of class. You did a resources one, and you did a soft skills one. Two and three.
The old man, like the one you did.
That's right. You just put it up to the website. No, you just put it up to your website. And when you, then in your links, you would write resources.accdb. And when you click on that, it will come up and give you the option
like I do,
to
like,
save
hold it,
or open.
And then like, if I had to, like,
and if I wanted to, I could show you the SQL code what I did for that.
Sure. But you don't have to. And, I mean, if you look back at my website, at my page, you know, there are places where I've got examples out there of a database. Well, right this week, I've got an example. And so if I look at this frame, view frame source, there is the database. So I said it's on CIS web, student 4 table example.accdb. So there is a perfect example of what I want you to do, okay? It's just the name of your area, and then the name of the database, .accdb. And when you click on it, on my page, it will come up and let you do either a save or an open. Okay?
Yep.
You can just shoot me some text.
Okay, so if I click on that, it comes up right now with the open or save. Okay? Yes, sir. You want the form?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to figure out, they keep saying I'm doing it right, but there's certain things I'm doing wrong.
You look perplexed. Do you have a question?
Oh, no.
You just constantly look perplexed.
I always do. It's kind of like my look.